You cannot tell me that he didn't consider I might help him fulfill his contract with her.
I am sure he considered it, but only because he was already in love with you. Was it so wrong for him to hope?
Persephone sat, stewing in her silence. Was Hecate only here to attempt to convince her to return to Hades? She knew the answer, but it was more complicated than a yes. She was here to convince her to return to the underworld, to a kingdom of people who had treated her like a queen, to her friends. She knew Hecate was right. Did it really matter that they had found love for each other because of a contract? People found love in all sorts of ways. The hardest thing, though, was that when she'd told Hades she loved him, he hadn't said it in return. He hadn't said anything at all. She felt Hecate watching her, and the goddess asked,
"How do you think you fulfilled the terms of your contract?"
Persephone looked at her, confused. "I grew something." It wasn't beautiful. She wasn't even sure it could be called a plant, but it was alive, and that's what mattered. The goddess shook her head.
"No, you fulfilled the contract because you created life within Hades, because you brought life to the underworld."
Persephone looked away, closing her eyes against the words. She couldn't hear this. Then Hecate whispered,
"It is bleak without you."
She took Persephone's hand.
"Do you love him?"
The question brought tears to her eyes, and she wiped them furiously before uttering a breathless, "Yes." She sniffed. "Yes, I think I've loved him since the beginning. That's why it hurts." Hades had challenged her to look at the whole picture, to not be blinded by her passion, except when it came to her passion for him.
"So go to him. Tell him why you hurt. Tell him how to fix it. Isn't that what you're good at?"
Persephone couldn't help laughing at that, and then groaned, rubbing her eyes. "Oh, Hecate, he doesn't want to see me."
"How do you know?" she asked.
"Don't you think if he wanted me, he would have come for me?"
"Perhaps he was just giving you time," she said.
Hecate looked away down the pedestrian street, and Persephone followed her gaze. Her breath caught, and her heart pounded in her chest. Hades stood a few feet away. Dressed from head to toe in black, he had never looked more handsome. His gaze, dark and piercing, settled on her, and it was the most vulnerable she'd ever seen him, hopeful, but afraid. Persephone rose from her chair, but it took her a moment to get her legs moving. She stumbled forward, and then broke into a run. He caught her as she jumped into his arms, legs twining around his waist. He held her close, burying his face into the crook of her neck.
"I missed you," he whispered.
"I missed you too," she said, and then pulled back. She studied his face, brushing the curve of his cheek and the bow of his lips. "I'm sorry."
"As am I," he said.
And she realized he was examining her just as intently, like he was trying to memorize every part of her.
"I love you. I should have told you sooner. I should have told you that night in the bath. I knew then."
She smiled, her fingers coiling into his hair. "I love you too." Their lips crashed together, and it was like the whole world melted away. Though they were surrounded by a legion of people taking photos and filming, Hades broke the kiss first, and Persephone looked up at him, both frustrated and slightly dazed.
"I wish to claim my favor, goddess," he said, his eyes darkening.
Persephone's heart hammered in her chest.
"Come to the underworld with me."
She started to protest, but he silenced her with a kiss.
"Live between worlds," he said. "But do not leave us forever. My people, your people, me."
She blinked back tears. He understood. She would have the best of both worlds. She would have him. Her smile turned mischievous, and she smoothed his shirt. I'm eager for a game of cards. The corners of his mouth twitched and his eyes darkened.
Poker?
He asked. Yes.
The stake?
Your clothes, she answered. Then they vanished. Bonus content. Chapter 27. Minthy the Mint Plant. Hades' dark eyes held Persephone's gaze as he reclined in the chair behind his obsidian desk, lithe fingers covering his full lips. When Persephone had entered his office, she'd been surprised to find him there. Since meeting the god of the dead 6 months ago, she'd never seen him use the desk. Oh, so the desk isn't just for show. A smile curled her lips, and for a moment she was unburdened by the reason she'd come here. Hades raised a brow and looked her up and down, eyes glittering. She'd chosen her outfit strategically, a red dress that hugged her curves. The straps were thin, and the neckline a deep V, accentuating the rise and fall of her chest. It was probably unfair, but she thought it might lessen the blow she'd come to deliver.
I can be very productive when I wish, he said.
Oh?
Yes, as you are aware, darling, I am exceptional at multitasking, he said,
and the air thickened with an electric pulse she felt in her gut. I seem to have forgotten you possessed that particular skill. Perhaps you can enlighten me? Hades' fingers fisted, but he did not move, eyes falling to the plant she cradled in her arms.
Have you brought me something?
The moment was ruined, which wasn't all that surprising. Minthy had ruined many things when she'd been a nymph. Now she ruined things as a plant, too. Persephone placed the mint plant on the edge of Hades' desk. Actually, I'm returning what was already yours. Hades' brows knitted together over his coal-black eyes.
I think I would remember leaving a mint plant at your home, Persephone.
Well, you see, this plant wasn't always a plant. Hades waited. She was a nymph. Minthy. Persephone couldn't tell what he was thinking, but her heart was racing and anxiety pulled at her chest. She'd practiced delivering her news in the mirror before she'd teleported to Nevernight, marched up the stairs, and barged into Hades' office. She'd had to walk fast, otherwise she would have turned around and gone back home. But it was time he knew the truth. Now that the words were out of her mouth, he sat silent and still. She had expected more of a reaction from him. After a moment, he spoke.
You're saying that?
Hades pointed to the mint plant.
Is my assistant?
Yes. He didn't look at the plant, but at her.
And why is my assistant a plant, Persephone?
Because, she averted her eyes and admitted, she upset me. Hades waited, his silence questioning. And when she said nothing more, he asked,
What did Minthy do to upset you?
There was a long list. Her closeness to Hades, her opinion that Persephone was all wrong for him, the fact that the nymph had tricked her into entering Tartarus. But what had really pissed her off was when Minthy had called her powerless. But she wasn't here to snitch, so she answered, That doesn't matter anymore. I took care of it. Hades raised a brow, and before he could say anything else, she continued, I thought I would give you the option of returning her to her true form. The corners of his mouth lifted, and his eyes glittered. He was clearly amused, and her anxiety lessened.
You wish for me to make that decision?
She blinked and said, She's your assistant. Hades tilted his head to the side, studying her. He was deciding how to proceed, and that made her nervous. When he rose to his feet and came around the desk, Persephone turned toward him, and Hades captured her chin between his fingers, tilting her head back until her throat was taut.
How shall I convince you to tell me the truth?
His voice was low, husky. It promised passion. Are you asking to play? He watched her a moment, She still couldn't figure out exactly what he thought about this whole situation. Then he pressed his lips to the hollow of her throat, tracing the column of her neck and the edge of her jaw with his mouth. Persephone clung to him, her hands fisted into his jacket, and when she gasped, Hades moved. Gripping her hips, he guided her to the edge of his pristine obsidian desk.
"I'm multitasking," he said as his hand slid up her thighs and under her dress.
His mouth closed over hers, teeth and tongue and breaths twined together, and as he consumed her, he slipped her panties off and spread her legs wide, straining her dress at the seams and exposing her heat to the cool air. Anticipation coiled low in her stomach as Hades' wicked gaze fell upon her. His fingers parted her hot flesh, and as he entered her, her head fell back. Did Hades intend to pleasure her into answering his questions? His fingers thrust, working hard and deep. He drew back to watch her, and as her breath quickened, she moaned his name.
"Do you like that?"
he asked, moving in and out, the friction of his fingers driving her to the edge of a cliff she would kill to fall off. "Yes," she breathed.
"Tell me what you want."
"More. Harder," she said, breathless. "Faster." And that was when he withdrew. His sudden absence was shocking, and a guttural sound came from her throat. She glared at him and reached for him, but Hades took a step back, chest rising and falling. For a moment, she thought someone might be approaching the office, but when Hades made no move to help cover her, she knew something else was amiss. "Why did you stop?"
"Tell me why you snapped," he said. "What did she say to upset you?"
Persephone glared at him. "This is your game?"
"You think this is a game?"
Her anger was so fierce and so acute, she thought she might turn him into a plant too, recognizing the feel of her magic awakening in her veins. It was strongest when she was angry. She started to push off the desk, but Hades trapped her, bringing his lips to hers again. Fingers twisting into her hair, he pulled her head back so he could explore her mouth deeper. For a moment, she stiffened in his arms, hands pressed firmly against his chest. It was like she had thought to push him away, but couldn't, wouldn't resist him. But she'd make him pay. He was wrong if he thought he could do this to her. Even more wrong if he thought he could resist her. Persephone unbuttoned his shirt. Her hands sought the planes of his chest, rock-hard abs, and the waistband of his slacks. His arousal strained against the fabric, and when she freed him, he groaned against her mouth. Her fingers closed over his shaft, and she pushed into him, slipping off the desk and directing him backwards until his back hit the wall. Then she snapped her fingers, and they found themselves in the underworld, in the garden Hades had granted her at the start of their contract. Hades' back was pressed against the stone wall. She still held his cock in her hand, and she smiled. She loved having Hades' favor.
"Persephone,"
she snapped her fingers again, and this time vines wound their way around Hades' wrists and ankles. His eyes darkened, his jaw tightened, and her name came out as a warning.
"Persephone?"
"Yes, my lord," she asked innocently.
"What are you doing?"
She stroked him, and his chest heaved.
"What does it look like?" she asked.
She worked him up and down and used her thumb to stroke the head of his member. She rose on the tips of her toes to kiss his lips and down his neck. Hades strained against the bindings she had put in place, desperate to reciprocate.
"Tell me what you want," she whispered as she nibbled his ear.
Hades growled.
"You, goddess."
She pulled away, smiling deviously, and then kneeled to take him into her mouth. He tasted like salt, and she took him deeper, the head of his cock hitting the back of her throat. Hades groaned over her. She held onto his legs, feeling his muscles cord beneath her hands. She worked him until he exploded in her mouth, and when she was finished, she rose to her feet, keeping his dark gaze, and stepped away.
"Is it torturous?" she asked.
It was a challenge. He didn't answer, but his eyes burned, and the vines around his wrists were taut.
"To take pleasure from me and not give it in return?"
She lifted her dress over her head and tossed it aside. Standing naked before him, she asked, "What do you want, Hades?" She underestimated his strength and will to possess her. The vine she'd called forth to hold him snapped, and he pounced, dragging her up his body and entering her without hesitation. Persephone's moan shattered the air as he stretched her and took her deep. His hands gripped her thighs so hard it felt like she was holding her bones. The god shifted, resting her against the stone wall, thrusting into her hard. The jagged rock scraped her back, but she didn't even feel it. She was too busy clawing at Hades, reaching for his hair, lost in his body as he filled her to bursting. Hades had awakened a darkness within her, an ache that constantly needed attention. She would always crave him. Her climax was violent, and Hades too. He knelt in the dirt then, holding Persephone close. She clung to him for a long time, legs shaking, unable to move or stand. Once their breathing returned, Persephone pulled away and met Hades' gaze. "You will not use sex to get what you want. Do you understand?"
"Yes, my queen."
Persephone's eyes widened.
"But I will tell you what I want," he said quickly. "An answer when I ask for it."
Persephone reddened. "Why? Don't you trust me?"
"I could ask the same of you."
Persephone looked away. "It's not so easy to answer you."
"Why?"
She was quiet, and Hades touched her chin, drawing her eyes back to his.
"Are you ashamed?"
It took her a moment, and then she said, "I was angry and rash in my decision, but she questioned my power, and I thought I'd teach her just how powerful I was." Hades was quiet for a moment before he kissed her.
"If you had not punished her, I would have, for leading you to Tartarus."
Persephone looked at him, surprised. "You knew?"
"I suspected," he said. "You confirmed."
She glared at him, swatting at his arm. "That's deceptive." Hades chuckled, but grew more serious.
"Still, why protect her when she put you in danger?"
"I wasn't protecting her. I was handling her on my own. I don't want you to fight my battles, Hades." The look he gave her was one of admiration and astonishment.
"My lady, it is very clear to me that you do not need my help fighting your battles."
Hades helped Persephone dress, and once their appearances were restored, he snapped his fingers, and Minthy the mint plant appeared in his hand.
"Now, what shall we do with her?"
"I haven't completely forgiven her," Persephone admitted. "But I should like to provide her with at least one comfort, and that's to be returned to the underworld." Hades observed a few wilted leaves on the mint plant.
"Is that because you have neglected her in the upper world?"
"No," Persephone snapped defensively, and Hades laughed. "If you must know, I spend more time here anyway. I'd rather she not die under my watch." Hades, still smiling, kissed the top of her head.
"As you wish, darling."
Hades helped Persephone plant Minthy in the coarse black soil. Once she was settled, the two set off on a stroll through the fields of the underworld. The day was bright, full of the underworld's strange, unnatural light. Around them were tall shoots of grass and flowers the color of blood oranges. Black mountains and dark forests encroached. This world was beautiful, surreal, magical. It was a haven to the dead, a prison to some, and in the last few months it had become one of her favorite places. She looked forward to her visits to the underworld, not just to see Hades or the lands, but to visit Hecate and the souls in Asphodel. They had come to expect her, celebrate her. They called her queen. It was that thought that gave her pause. And the fact that Hades had, too. She had tried to put a stop to their use of the title, but why would they listen if their king used it, too? "Hades, I want to ask that you not call me my..."
"Lady?"
"Queen," she said. The god came to a stop, his expression unreadable. She hurried to continue. I recognize you spoke in a moment of passion.
I meant it, he said. You are my queen. Only you hold sway over me.
Hades.
Why do you fear it? The title.
It's not fear, it's... She couldn't find words. Your people already call me their queen. Don't you think it's a little too early?
So it is fear, he said. Fear that you and I will not work.
Persephone didn't need to say anything. It was fear.
My people will always see you as their mistress because of how you have treated them, whether you choose to love me or not.
His words made her heart hurt. She wanted to tell him that she did love him, but he continued.
As for me, well, you will always be the ruler of my heart.
You cannot know that, she said, no matter how much she wanted it to be true.
I have waited lifetimes for you,
he said, as if it was an oath he was swearing upon every star in the sky, every drop of water in the ocean, every soul in the entire universe.
I know it.
He walked on, and she followed, feeling a weight settle on her shoulders. Perhaps she shouldn't have doubted their love, but she had fears, fears that still loomed like clouds over their future. Her mother was just one. The other was far more complicated. Persephone was a goddess, but she still hoped to keep that part of her life a secret from the rest of the world. The biggest problem? The whole world wanted to know everything about her since she'd been revealed as Hades' lover. They came to a stop on the edge of a sliver of cliff. Beyond, silver trees glistened like a foaming sea, and the muted sky above was growing dusty with night. Persephone had never seen this part of the underworld before, and that was one thing she loved about being here. Every day was an adventure. This is beautiful, she said. She felt Hades' gaze on her, but she kept her eyes on the grove below, part because she was in awe of the sight and because she was ashamed to face him.
I'm glad you think so, he said, because it is yours. Welcome to the grove of Persephone.
She had to look at him now, shock evident upon her face. But
I thought you might like to have a place to yourself. Somewhere to practice your magic, a place that doesn't remind you of our beginning.
He was referring to her garden in the underworld and their bargain. She reached for him, placing her palm against his cheek. Hades, I love our beginning. He smiled faintly, but she could tell he didn't believe her, and that was painful too. So she explained, It's true I haven't always loved it, but I could never hate anything that brought me to you. He took her hand and pressed his lips to her palm, then drew her against him, their bodies aligned hip to hip, chest to chest. He kissed her, holding her tight, as if he feared she might vanish. When he pulled away, she was breathless, her fingers twisted into his jacket. He stared at her, eyes burning into hers, and swore fiercely,
You will be my queen. I do not need the fates to tell me that.
A Touch of Darkness. Hades' Point of View. Chapter 1. A Game of Gods. Hades appeared in his office at Nevernight, adjusting his tie. He had spent the afternoon on what he would consider a rather special mission, reuniting a mother with her son in the afterlife. It wasn't something he did often, or even encouraged, but these two souls had been different. Upon the son's death, the mother hadn't pleaded for his return to life or cursed Hades for stealing his soul. She had instead asked to be reunited with him in death, a prayer Hades had vowed to uphold. Centuries ago, he wouldn't have heeded such pleas. Death was death back then. There was no reason or cause to live grandly in the underworld unless the right was earned. In antiquity, life and death meant different things. Only the extremely virtuous and those deemed to be heroes deserved an existence in the underworld wrought with beauty. Hades no longer believed that way,
but he felt he would spend twice as many lifetimes making up for it.
You're late.
Minthy's voice was like a whip, shattering his thoughts. He'd sensed her the moment he entered the room, all fire and ice, and preferred to ignore her when she was like this. Once his tie was straightened and his cufflinks in place, he was ready to look at the flaming-haired nymph. Her lips, a shade darker than her hair, were twisted into a pout. She did not like being ignored.
How can I be late, Minthy, when I abide by no one's schedule but my own?
Minthy had been his assistant since the beginning, and she went through phases where she would try to exercise rights over him. Rights to his time, to his realm, and to his body. Her eagerness for control wasn't lost on him. He recognized the trait in her because he possessed it himself.
Tardiness is not attractive, Hades, even from a god, she snapped.
A smile threatened his lips, but he remained composed. His amusement would only anger her further.
While you were dallying, I've had to entertain your guests.
Hades' brows furrowed.
Who is waiting for me?
There was something in Minthy's gaze that told him he wouldn't like her answer.
Lady Aphrodite.
Fuck. Minthy raised a brow. Had he cursed out loud?
You might want to hurry, Minthy said. When I insisted she wait for you here, she said there was plenty to entertain her downstairs.
Great. The only thing to ever come out of Aphrodite entertaining herself was war. He sighed.
Thank you, Minthy.
Clearly pleased by Hades' expression of gratitude, Minthy uncrossed her arms, letting them fall at her sides.
Shall I have Ilias bring you a drink, my lord? Yes. In fact, advise him I am not to have an empty glass tonight.
Hades vanished and appeared on the floor of his club. He walked among mortals, silent and unseen, preferring to observe. This was often how his night started. He would roam the crowds, observe mortals who would come to seek his services, weigh the burden of their souls, and send his people to offer the night's password to the upstairs lounge. A password didn't guarantee a game with the god of the dead. It was just another step in the process. Once mortals passed through the doors of the lounge, fear settled in. And that fear either drew them away or made them desperate. It was the desperate Hades was most interested in. They were the ones who might change if offered the chance. It was a delicate process and involved many players. Hades had lost his fair share of bargains, but if he could save one life on the path to destruction, he felt it was worth it. Hades picked up the scent of Aphrodite's magic, sea salt and roses. She was with a mortal man, sitting on his lap, arms wrapped around his neck, fingers twined into his brown hair. He wore a dark gray suit, and a gold band graced his left ring finger. Hades could sense enough of his soul to know he was a cheating bastard.
Why don't we go back to my place, baby?
The man was asking. Aphrodite pouted. Hades had to admit she put on a good show. The mortal had no idea she was disgusted by him. Oh, I really would like to stay just a little longer. Don't you want to bargain with Hades? The man squeezed her, fingers digging into her bottom.
Not anymore. You're everything I need.
Really? She was not impressed, but she leaned in anyway. And what were you missing before? Aphrodite's hands moved to the man's chest. Hades knew what she was doing, compelling the man to tell her the truth.
I'm insecure. I need to know I'm still wanted by other women.
And it isn't enough to be wanted by your wife. Aphrodite's pretty lips twisted into a scowl. The man's eyes went wide. It was clear his brain was at odds with what was coming out of his mouth.
I love my wife, he said. I'm just looking for sex.
Oh, is that all? She batted her lashes. And then spoke in a voice veiled with darkness and strong with promise. In that case, when you return to your wife this evening, she will no longer desire you. She will cringe at your touch and gag when your lips touch hers. She will refuse you, and then she will leave you. The man's eyes widened. Hades knew what he was seeing, Aphrodite in her true form. The goddess could be wicked when she wanted to. Mortals had formulated ideas about the gods since the beginning of time, and they tended to be shocked when they moved outside of those boxes. Aphrodite was no different. The human world believed she was nothing more than a sexual being, that she sought entertainment and pleasure from god and mortal alike. But the truth was, she could be a vengeful god, especially toward those who betrayed love. It was probably time for him to make an appearance.
Aphrodite, Hades said.
The goddess turned to meet his gaze and smiled.
Hades, she purred.
It was a sensual voice. And even though she just cursed the mortal she was still using as an armchair, his eyes clouded with desire at the sound.
I think the mortal has had enough excitement for one night. Why don't you let him slither off?
Aphrodite's face changed at the mention of the mortal, and she turned to glare at him before hopping off his lap.
Run along, snake.
The mortal obeyed.
What?
Aphrodite snapped when she looked at Hades again. His brows rose.
Nothing. Although you will hardly help the man's ego by taking away the only love he's ever known.
She dusted off her hands. He betrayed love, so he will never have it again.
I don't think your punishment is unfair, but it has the potential to create a monster.
What would you have done had he come to you to bargain?
Hades couldn't be sure. He'd seen many burdens upon the man's soul. Seeking validation through sex was just one of many.
I suppose it would have depended on what he asked me for.
Ilias approached just then with a glass of rosé for Aphrodite and a whiskey for Hades. Once the satyr departed, Hades looked expectantly at the goddess of love.
You do not often grace my halls with your presence, Aphrodite. What can I do for you?
She took a sip of wine, her seafoam eyes locked with his.
I had hoped you'd be interested in a little bet of our own.
I do not play gods.
Just one game, Hades, she said innocently, and then goaded, Are you afraid?
A game played under this roof is never just a game.
Her eyes burned bluer than before.
What is it you want, goddess? Why request a game?
Just a bit of entertainment, Hades, she said as coolly as she could. Besides, we don't set terms until a winner is declared. Isn't that how you play?
Hades knew the goddess had more than entertainment on her mind. It was in the way she carried herself, rigid and tense. Something had brought her here, and if he had to guess, it had to do with her husband, which meant that whatever she was going to ask for wasn't good.
No, Aphrodite.
Fine, she said. But remember, you forced my hand.
He glared at her, knowing what she was going to say next.
I have an unclaimed favor from you, Hades. I wish to use it.
It was a request he couldn't refuse. A favor owed between gods was like a blood pact. Once invoked, it couldn't be taken back. He took a drink of his whiskey, and it kept him from saying anything he might regret before he gritted out,
One game, Aphrodite, no more.
She brightened like he'd given her the stars and the sky.
Thank you, Hades.
Hades snapped his fingers, and the two teleported to a small parlor in the lounge where he often accepted bargains and played against mortals. The space was small and dim. Normally, Hades felt comfortable here, but having Aphrodite in his territory put him on edge. He wanted to know why she'd come, but the goddess of love held her cards close to her chest. She hadn't always been that way. Hades remembered a time when she wore her heart on her sleeve, when she had actually believed in love. But everything had changed after her marriage to Hephaestus. Hades did not know details, but whatever transpired between the two in the hours after their marriage had hardened her heart and broken her spirit. What was left was a spiteful and cynical shell. Hades had been bitter, too, once, but unlike Aphrodite, who dealt with her anger and loneliness by entertaining herself with mortals and gods alike, he had isolated himself further and further from everyone and everything
until the only thing people could do was make up stories and tales about the elusive god of the underworld.
A pack of cards sat at the center of the table, and Hades offered them to Aphrodite.
Would you like to deal?
No. A smile curled her lips. I'll let you retain some power, Adonius.
He glared at her. He did not like that nickname. Mortals used it out of fear. She used it now to taunt him.
Blackjack, then.
5 hands, Aphrodite said. Whoever wins the most sets stakes.
Hades agreed and dealt the first hand and lost. He hated losing.
What do you see when you look at my soul, Hades?
The question wasn't all that surprising. It was one he received often, but not from Aphrodite. She had known him since her birth and had never asked. This time, when the words left her mouth, she sounded tired.
Why do you ask?
She met his gaze.
You're aware of my situation?
He was. The situation was her marriage to Hephaestus. The goddess didn't like to call it that. Contrary to popular belief, it wasn't Aphrodite who didn't want to be married to Hephaestus. It was Hephaestus who didn't want to be married to her.
I just wonder if Hephaestus hates me because deep down, I am really just as horrible as he seems to think.
Hephaestus doesn't think you are horrible, Aphrodite. He's just afraid to love you.
She offered a mocking laugh.
Have you ever told him you love him?
Hades asked. The goddess stuck out her chin, and he knew she wanted to argue that she didn't love him. She didn't want to be the goddess of love, in love with a man who didn't return her affection.
You were a gift to Hephaestus at a time when you flaunted your lovers. From his perspective, you were a reluctant bride.
Never mind the fact that he knew Aphrodite had always been enchanted by the god of fire. He'd caught her watching him on more than one occasion, mostly frowning because he did not give her the time of day. But Hades knew Hephaestus well. The god was of a different sort. He was not eager to be under the spotlight, less eager to speak. He took pleasure in solitude and creating. He was Aphrodite's opposite, which in Hades' opinion made them perfect for each other. But he was not a matchmaker.
I'm not surprised Hephaestus isn't interested in forcing you into monogamy.
Aphrodite was silent for a long moment, focusing on their game. Hades had won the last round, and she had won this one, 2-1. Finally, she admitted, I asked Zeus for a divorce. He will not grant it. Hades' brows rose.
Does Hephaestus know?
I imagine he does now.
You are sending mixed messages, Aphrodite. You want Hephaestus' love, but you ask for a divorce. Have you even tried talking to him?
Have you? She snapped, glaring at Hades. He might as well be mute. Hades grimaced. He had a feeling Hephaestus kept quiet because her temper was a short fuse. You haven't answered my question, Hades. The god watched her a moment. He didn't particularly like answering questions about the soul. More often than not, god and mortal alike weren't ready to hear what he had to say, but he answered anyway.
You have a beautiful soul, Aphrodite. Passionate, determined, romantic. But you are desperate to be loved and believe yourself unlovable.
He spoke as they played their last hand, and when Aphrodite flipped her cards, a wide smile broke out across her face.
She had won.
It's time to set our terms, Hades. He sat back in his chair, glaring. And the goddess threw her head back in laughter.
It seems you do not like to be defeated.
He didn't.
Few did.
She considered, pressing her finger to her chin. What shall I require from you? She took her time deciding, studying him hard as if she wished to see to his soul in turn. Then she said the words he dreaded.
Fall in love, Hades.
Better yet, find a girl who will fall in love with you. Then Aphrodite clapped and exclaimed, That's it! Make someone fall in love with you.
Hades' jaw tightened. If it were that easy, he'd have married long ago. Hades was sure there were mortals abound who believed themselves in love with him. The problem was, he didn't want one-sided love. He was more like Aphrodite. He wanted something meaningful and passionate. He'd lived too long to want anything else.
And if I can't meet those terms?
Her smile was wicked.
Then you will release Basil from the underworld.
Your lover?
Hades couldn't keep the disgust from his voice. They'd just spent the last few minutes discussing her love for Hephaestus, and here she was asking for a man, her hero to be exact. Basil had fought and died for her in the Great War.
Why? Do you ever want Hephaestus to love you?
She glared at him. Hephaestus is a lost cause.
You haven't even tried.
Basil, Hades, he's who I want.
Because you imagine yourself in love with him?
What do you know of love? You've never loved in your lifetime.
He chose to ignore that.
Basil loves you, that is true. But if you don't love him in return, it is meaningless.
Better to be loved than not at all.
You're a fool, Hades wanted to say. Instead, he answered,
Are you sure this is what you want? You have already petitioned Zeus for a divorce. Now you have asked me to resurrect your lover in the event I cannot meet the terms of your contract. Hephaestus will know.
Aphrodite was quiet for a moment before she answered. Yes, it's what I want.
She took a deep breath then and managed a smile. 6 months, Hades. That should be enough time. Thank you for the entertainment. It was invigorating.
With that, the goddess of love left.
Chapter 2. A Game of Fate. Hades prowled the darkness of his club, his ears still ringing with Aphrodite's wicked laugh.
Make someone fall in love with you. The words were bitter, a cruel taunt perpetuated by the other Olympians who were more concerned about his enduring loneliness than him. Perhaps he had gone too far in criticizing Aphrodite's choice to ask Zeus for a divorce, but Hades knew the goddess loved Hephaestus. She just didn't want to be the first to admit it. She thought to force the god of fire into admitting his feelings by goading him. What Aphrodite failed to understand was that not everyone worked like she did, least of all Hephaestus. If she was going to win his love, it would be through patience, kindness, and attention. It would mean she would have to be vulnerable, something Aphrodite, goddess and warrior, despised. Hades had once despised vulnerability, too. He used to think it a sign of weakness. Now he saw it as strength, and one of the only ways to get what he truly desired. The longer he lived, the more he believed that life was both too short and too long to not have exactly what you wanted. Which was why he despised Aphrodite's challenge. It forced him into a role he'd hoped to take on naturally. Suddenly he had 6 months to find a lover, or he would have to return Aphrodite's hero to the land of the living. He frowned at the notion. If he failed, the fates would get involved, and he knew what they would require if he returned a soul to the land of the living. A soul for a soul. Someone would have to die, and he wouldn't have a say in the fate's victim. He hated it, but it was the price of maintaining balance in the world. A smell brought him out of his thoughts and out of the darkness. It was familiar. Wildflowers, both bitter and sweet. Demeter. The goddess of harvest's name was sour on his tongue. But that couldn't be. Demeter had few passions in life, and one of them was her hatred for the god of the dead. He inhaled again, taking the scent deeper. Something about it was off. Mingled with the familiar scent was the sweetness of vanilla and the mild herbal note of lavender. A mortal, perhaps? Someone with the goddess's favor? He came to the edge of the balcony, drink in hand, and scanned the crowd. His eyes went right to her, a beautiful woman he had never seen in his club before. She sat, poised on the edge of one of the sofas, back straight, skin golden-hued.
Her hair was long, blonde, and fell in waves down her back. Her dress left little to the imagination, accentuating the swell of her breasts, the curve of her hips, and her long legs. Her head was tilted back, and he could see that she had a small nose, full lips, and high cheekbones. She didn't seem to notice people so much as things, her eyes stopping to observe the narcissus on the table, the lights overhead, the wrought iron rail of the balcony. Then her eyes locked with his. Something inside him became almost feral. "Claim her," it demanded, snarled. He had to grind his teeth to keep from obeying. The impulse to whisk her away to the underworld was strong, like a spell. He had never thought himself so weak, but his restraint was a thin, frayed thread. How could he want someone he'd just seen so badly? "She's a goddess," he realized with a start. It was her eyes that gave her away, brightened to an unnatural bottle green. Something had caused her glamour to fade, and if Hades had to guess, it probably had something to do with his power. It was hard for gods to be in the territory of another and maintain their glamour, unless they were very powerful, unless they were his equal. And only two rivaled him, his brothers, Zeus and Poseidon. Who was she? Where had she come from? Hades knew every god, Olympian and otherwise, and yet he did not know her. As he held her gaze, he became aware that he wasn't the only one feeling the effects of their connection. She fidgeted, and her breath hitched, making her chest rise and fall, and inviting his gaze. It seemed every place his eyes fell elicited a flush that colored her pretty skin pink. He'd have liked to follow that flush with his lips. He smiled at the thought. Then she crossed her legs, and his eyes followed. He'd give anything to know what she was thinking. He hoped her thoughts were salacious. His eyes made a slow climb back up her body to her face. Arms crept around him from behind. He was so distracted he hadn't felt anyone sneak up. He turned to face Minthy, grabbing her wrists. "Distracted, my lord?" she purred, amused. Of course, the nymph had noticed his preoccupation with the woman, and she'd wanted it to end. "Minthy," he snapped, releasing her arms. "Can I help you?" He was frustrated by the interruption, but also grateful. If he'd stared at her any longer, he might have left his position on the balcony and gone to her. "Already zeroing in on your prey?" she asked. For a moment, Hades didn't understand. And then he made the connection. Minthy assumed he was searching for a potential love interest, someone who could help him fulfill Aphrodite's bargain.
"Listening in the shadows again, Minthy?"
The nymph shrugged a shoulder.
"It's what I do." "You gather information for me," he said, "not on me."
"How else am I supposed to keep you out of trouble?" he snorted.
"I'm millions of years old. I can take care of myself."
"Is that how you ended up in a bargain with Aphrodite?"
He narrowed his gaze, then lifted his glass.
"Didn't I tell you to inform Ilias I am not to have an empty glass tonight?"
She gave her best fuck you smile and bowed.
"I'll see he is reminded, my lord."
When Hades' gaze returned to the floor, the woman had turned back to her friends. It was then he noticed someone in her company he despised. A boy named Adonis. He was one of Aphrodite's favored mortals who'd petitioned Hades in the past, wishing to strike bargains in exchange for riches. Hades had refused, and it wasn't because the man was pure of heart. In fact, his soul was so damaged it was hard to tell what burdened it most. One thing was certain, however. Adonis was predatory. He was a liar. He was scum. It wouldn't be long before he did something that had consequences beyond the mortal realm. Hades hated that the beautiful blonde was in his company. He should have acted on his impulse to steal her away. It would be far kinder than anything Adonis might do. He decided he would have Mekonnen keep watch. If anything happened, the ogre would intervene. That put his mind at ease, a little. Hades sighed. He needed a drink. With a fresh glass of whiskey, Hades made his way into the lounge. It was quiet and more relaxed than the floor.
Mortals and ancient creatures chatted, drank, shared secrets, and played cards. They weren't ready to challenge Hades, but they were all here because they wanted something, needed something. Money, love, health, and they believed the god of the dead could give it to them. Sometimes his bargains worked. The addicts were rehabilitated. The lonely and sick began to love themselves. Sometimes they didn't. Sometimes the fates took them anyway. Sometimes they preferred to die rather than try. Either way, Hades took on every bargain, believing the mortals would succeed, and every failure was a weight upon his heart. His mind wandered to the girl downstairs again. What burden was upon her soul? He hadn't looked. He'd been too distracted. But he also didn't make a practice of focusing on the vices and challenges of others. Still, what had brought her to Nevernight tonight? As if the fates were answering, as he rounded one of the gaming tables, he halted. The woman from downstairs had found her way to his lounge and now sat at a poker table. Why was she here? Was she merely curious, or did she have a bargain to strike? What would she ask for? What terms would he set if she lost? He couldn't help it. He approached her.
Do you play?
He asked. The goddess turned to face him. She was even more striking up close. Her green eyes were wide and fringed with dark lashes, and a dust of freckles kissed the tip of her nose and the apples of her cheeks. She flushed, and he took note as she curled her fingers into fists. Hades took a sip from his glass, licking his lips clean. The movement drew her attention to his mouth, and he repressed a groan. She seemed to remember that he'd asked her a question, and smiled as she answered, "If you're willing to teach." His lips quirked, and he raised a dark brow.
"Careful what you wish for, goddess," he wanted to say.
Instead, he took another drink, sent up a prayer for restraint, and approached the table, taking a seat beside her. He had been right when he identified the undertones of lavender and vanilla amid Demeter's magic. Her scent enveloped him now, powerful and alluring.
"It's brave to sit down at a table without knowing the game," he said.
It was a warning she didn't catch. She met his gaze and asked, "How else would I learn?" She was right, though Hades wouldn't advise running before learning to walk, especially when it came to bargains with him. Still, her response illustrated her cunning and willingness to try new things, and he found that insanely attractive.
Clever.
Neither of them said anything for a moment, preferring to study the other, and Hades was struck by how much he wanted to know her. He couldn't explain why, and while it all felt a little ridiculous and slightly intoxicating, she felt right.
"I've never seen you before," he finally said.
"Well, I have never been here before," she replied,
and then assessed him with what he would consider to be a critical eye. "You must come here often." He smirked.
It almost sounded like an accusation, and perhaps it was. He doubted the goddess was ignorant to the bargain struck in this room, but it also told him she didn't know who he was yet. "I do."
"Why?" She sounded rather disgusted, and then blushed and tried to recover by adding, "I mean, you don't have to answer that."
"I will answer it."
He met her gaze, challenging.
"If you will answer a question for me."
"Say yes," he silently begged, though he would never compel her. She seemed to consider this, and a small furrow appeared between her eyes as she studied him. He got the impression she was trying to figure out why he wanted to know anything about her. After what seemed like forever, she conceded. "Fine." It was a challenge not to smile. He answered her earlier question.
"I come because it is fun."
He wanted to laugh at his word choice. It was true there were nights when his work was entertaining, but it wasn't the whole truth. Some nights were devastating. Some left him with a heaviness on his heart akin to grief. But he didn't let himself think about that. Not now, when this beautiful woman sat beside him and had asked him to be her teacher.
Now you, why are you here tonight?
My friend Lexa was on the list, she said.
No,
he said.
That is the answer to a different question. Why are you here tonight?
She was quiet for a moment, and he decided he liked the mischievous glint in her eye as she considered her answer. Finally, she said, it seemed rebellious at the time.
And now you aren't so sure?
Oh, I am sure it is rebellious. She dragged her finger along the surface of the table, and Hades wished to be the table. I'm just not sure how I'll feel about it tomorrow.
Now he was curious. Who are you rebelling against?
Her smile was like an arrow to his chest, devastating, secretive, enticing. You said one question.
So I did.
He was smiling and thinking things he hadn't in a very long time.
Well played, goddess.
She shivered again.
Are you cold?
What? She seemed surprised by his question.
You've been shivering a lot since you sat down.
She flushed and fidgeted under his gaze again, and then blurted, who was that woman with you earlier? He frowned, wondering which woman she meant, but then realized it could have only been one.
Oh, Minthy. She's always putting her hands where they don't belong.
She paled, and he realized he'd said the wrong thing. I think I should go.
No, she couldn't leave for so many reasons. They hadn't talked long enough, he didn't know her name, he wanted to teach her, not just cards, but everything.
Before he knew what he was doing, his hand was on hers, and something electric sparked between them, eliciting a gasp from the goddess. She pulled away quickly.
No,
he said, but it came out as a command, and she glared at him. Excuse me?
What I mean to say is, I haven't taught you how to play yet.
He lowered his voice, forcing away the hysteria that had caused him to reach for her.
Allow me.
She wasn't completely convinced. He could tell by the wary expression on her face. Again, he found himself praying,
trust me, trust me, trust me.
Finally, she seemed resolved and said in the most erotic voice he'd ever heard, then teach me.
I will, he thought, everything.
He shuffled the cards and explained the game.
This is poker. We will play 5-card draw and we'll start with a bet.
But I don't have anything to bet with, she said.
He smirked. He wasn't interested in her money. A question answered, then. If I win, you will answer any question I pose, and if you win, I will answer yours.
The goddess grimaced. She'd probably assumed her avoidance tactics meant an end to his interrogation.
It didn't.
Deal. Thrilled with his success, Hades added,
there are 10 rankings in poker. The lowest is the high card, and the highest is the royal flush. The goal is to draw a higher rank than the other player.
He explained other things, like checking, folding, and bluffing. Bluffing? That seemed to pique her interest.
Sometimes poker is just a game of deception, especially when you're losing.
Hades dealt each of them 5 cards. They took their time eyeing their cards, and then each other. Finally, the goddess laid her cards down, face up. Hades did the same.
You have a pair of queens, he said. And I have a full house.
So you win, she said.
Yes,
he replied, and claimed his prize immediately.
Who are you rebelling against?
She smiled wryly. My mother. He raised a brow.
Why?
You'll have to win another hand if I'm going to answer. He was all too eager. When he won a second time, he didn't ask the question, just looked at her expectantly. She sighed. Because she made me mad. She seemed rueful in that moment, and he wondered at the relationship she had with her mother. Gods had never made the best parents, and time hadn't changed that. He stared at her, waiting for more of an explanation, but the goddess just smirked. You never said the answer had to be detailed.
His grin matched hers.
Noted for the future, I assure you.
The future?
Well, I hope this isn't the last time we'll play poker.
He wasn't sure what to make of her expression, but he got the sense that she hadn't planned on seeing him again after tonight. Something jolted through him, an emotion akin to fear. He had to see her again. He would go mad. He dealt another hand and won.
Why are you angry with your mother?
He asked. She looked thoughtful for a moment and then said, because she wants me to be something I can't. It was at that moment Hades understood something about her soul that he didn't even have to look for. This goddess was still trying to find herself. Her gaze dropped to the cards.
I don't understand why people do this.
He tilted his head.
You are not enjoying our game?
I am, but I don't understand why people play Hades. Why do they want to sell their soul to him?
Haven't you ever been desperate for something? He wanted to ask. They don't agree to a game because they want to sell their soul, he said. They do it because they think they can win.
Do they? Win?
Sometimes.
Does that anger him, you think?
She had pursed her lips at the question, and dread tightened his chest. This goddess had connections to Demeter, which meant she'd heard the worst things about him. If he had any hope of deconstructing the myth that had been erected around him, he was going to have to spend time with her. And that meant she needed to know who he was. So he answered her question truthfully.
Darling, I win either way.
Her eyes went wide, and she stood quickly, almost knocking her chair over. He had never seen anyone so eager to leave his company. His name slipped out of her mouth like a curse.
Hades.
He shuddered.
Say it again, he wanted to command, but he kept his mouth shut.
His eyes darkened, and he pressed his lips together. The look on her face would haunt him for an eternity. She was shocked, frightened, embarrassed. She had made a mistake. He read it on her face.
I have to go.
She spun, fleeing from him like he was death himself come to steal her soul. He thought about chasing her, but knew it didn't matter whether or not he followed. She would be back. She had lost to him, and he had marked her, which meant until she fulfilled his terms, she was his. He swallowed his whiskey and smiled. Perhaps Aphrodite's bargain wouldn't be so impossible after all. Author's note. I never thought I would write romance, but sometime in the last year, I became brave enough to do just that, and it is fitting that I started with a retelling of Hades and Persephone. I've always loved Greek mythology. It's creepy and violent and vicious, and when it came to the tale of Hades and Persephone, I was always intrigued by Persephone, who was the goddess of spring, but also the queen of the underworld. She, like so many, straddled the light and the dark. When I started writing about Hades and Persephone, I wrote short snippets, pieces of dialogue between the two that kept popping into my head. So I started posting pieces on Tumblr. This was my first. The garden is my solace. It's the only life in this horrid place, this dark desert. The roses smell sweet. The wildflowers smell bitter. The stars shine bright. In the back of my mind, I marvel at how he crafts such an illusion, how he can blend scents and texture, a master with his brush, stippling and smoothing. As quick as awe descends, I scoff. Of course he can stir the air and prick holes in the dark above so light shines through. He is a god. And my jailer. I could do better, I think bitterly. I could turn this deathscape into an oasis. The air would smell of spring, and this black canvas would be painted in vibrant, vivacious color. But that would be a gift, and I'm not in a giving mood. The air changes. He is near. I have learned the feel of him. The ruler of the dead is not cold. He blazes like a hearth in the dead of winter. I shiver as he casts me in his shadow and scent. He smells of pine, of home. I curl my fingers into my gown. He is everything I hate and everything I want.
The tone of this is very different from what I ended up writing, but the dynamics are still the same. An ancient god who takes pleasure in crafting his world, and an envious goddess who both marvels and despises his work. From this first scene, I started to ask questions and formulate my world and characters. I ended up with a Persephone who wants adventure and passion more than anything in the world. She wants desperately to be good at something, and is very quick to judge Hades, who she believes is abusing his power as a god by agreeing to bargain with mortals. I ended up with a Hades who was just as desperate for passion and was very tired of being alone. When Persephone came along to challenge him, he does the opposite of what she expects and listens. A Touch of Darkness is Hades and Persephone's first book, but I plan to explore their story more. Persephone must embrace her power, both as the goddess of spring and eventually as the queen of the underworld, and Hades has secrets that will challenge the new life he wishes to lead with Persephone. I'm so happy to finally share my version of the Hades and Persephone story with you. I hope you enjoy it as much as I enjoyed writing it. Love, Scarlett. This concludes A Touch of Darkness by Scarlett St. Clair, narrated by Meg Sylvan. Copyright 2019 by Scarlett St. Clair. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Scarlett St. Clair and was produced in the year 2020 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.